Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tacos Fast 40, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Today I'll be going over Martinsville for the STP 500. Just real briefly, since this is coming out on a Sunday morning, with the qualifying being on Saturday night. We much prefer it being on a Friday night so we can get the pod out a little earlier, but that's the way it goes. It's kind of dumb to do a pod before we get the qualifying times out there, so we're here Sunday morning right before the race, and there's going to be some big changes to the field that come around 10 or 11 EST in the morning, and maybe by the time you're listening to this, we'll already know the news of tech this week, but it's the first impound race of the year, meaning that they have the practice sessions before qualifying, and guys pretty much stay out in race trim for the practice sessions, and then, you know, they go into qualify, and then they're not allowed to touch the cars until the next morning, and they can have their qualifying times disallowed if they don't pass the technical inspection. So those guys will be sent to the back and scored from the back as far as DraftKings scoring goes. So, you know, it could possibly change a whole lot. You know, we've got projections up on the domination station ready to go. We're just waiting on news. You know, we've seen as many as 13 cars going to the back in a single race last year. And sometimes we don't see any, or maybe just one or two that were kind of scrubs anyway, and things won't change too much, but it's all up in the air. We don't know, you know, who is pushing the limit a little too far. If you know these guys, you know that they're always pushing it to the limit with everything, be it on pit road or, you know, with their setups in the car. They're always there to push it to the limit. But before I get down into breaking down how the scoring is going to be quite different at Martinsville, just got to remind you that at DFSArmy.com, go there using the link in the description if you find this all helpful and you want to check out our research station, domination station, lineup optimizer, research stations we'll be referencing throughout this pod. Our friend Nilly has a cool lineup generator tool that you can use as well, and of course your DFS Army subscription will come with access to all of our coverage for all of our different daily fantasy sport offerings. We do the truck series and Xfinity series. We just had that truck race yesterday, and yeah, we do a baseball, basketball, you name it. You know, we cover it. It's all included in one cheap price for the DFS Army VIP membership subscription. So definitely come check that out and use promo code TACO on sign up to support the podcast and get a lifetime 20% off discount. So, you know, looking at how scoring here is different than at other tracks. There are 500 laps to be had here, and you know, we've seen time and time again the main dominator at this track is pretty much going to make or break the slate for you. You might absolutely need them to cash if they're high owned enough and they score enough laps. You know, in this race last year, we saw Joey Logano lead 309 laps. And that's not the only time we've seen someone lead over 300 laps. We've had four guys in the last 10 races lead over 290 laps and, you know, score 150 to 180 fantasy points and on DraftKings. You know, so that's going to it's going to be absolutely huge to get your dominators in there. There are 375 dominator points to go around on DraftKings compared to the average amount of around 200 dominator points, you know, for like an intermediate oval. Or at the 2 milers like we had last year, there were 150 dominator points to go around. And, you know, even at a place like a road course, there could be as low as like 80 or even 70 fantasy points to go around. So, you know, it's a much, much, much bigger factor here with all of these laps. It makes a huge change on FanDuel as well. You'll notice that everybody is going to score a ton of points because they're getting that 0.1 fantasy point per lap. And, you know, over there, they don't have the fast laps. The leaders, the guys leading the race will definitely separate themselves and be, you know, if you want to cash in FanDuel GPP, you absolutely have to nail the dominators perfectly. The guys leading laps. Not just the guys collecting fast laps. They've got to be out in the lead. You got to have those guys. A very interesting trend that we see on FanDuel is Martinsville is both number one in, you know, average percentage of FanDuel fantasy point distribution to guys in the top 10. So of all of the fantasy points available, a guy starting in the top 10 will get around 6.5% of all the available fantasy points, and that's more than at any other track. But also the guys in the bottom 10 also get the highest distribution of fantasy points compared to, you know, the rest of the field relatively, and it's not really even that close either. This place in Bristol with the 500 laps each, have about a 4.6% of the fantasy points going to each of the bottom 10 drivers. And, you know, the closest mark outside of that would be the Richmond race, which has the third most laps. Richmond and Dover having 400 laps, so it's pretty much on FanDuel. The less laps that you have, the more guys in the middle of the pack that you can start. And here at these tracks with a whole bunch of laps, you really want to pick guys from the very back and just punt and, you know, go for all the pure dominators starting up front, you know, the best of the best. Get as many of them as you can in your FanDuel lineup because that's just how the scoring goes here. And you absolutely cannot make a mistake. A DNF will completely ruin your day on FanDuel. You know, there's some crazy stats like, you know, you can see pretty much everyone gets about 40 or 50 fantasy points as about a floor. You know, you see guys starting 31st through 35th. You know, there have been 60 of those guys in the past 10 races, and 97% of the time they've scored over 50 fantasy points on FanDuel. And, you know, it's pretty comparative to mostly everybody. You know, the higher up a guy starts on FanDuel, the more they're going to score pretty much on average. And we really only see the 90 plus point scores out of guys starting in the top five, and especially the best of the best drivers. But if you have any driver on your lineup that has a problem, that is going to completely ruin your FanDuel day. Those are going to be the guys that don't score much, the guys that don't finish the race. They'll be easily outscored by like a guy running around in last place at least finished most of the laps, even if they had, you know, led laps before. DNF is just absolutely killer over there. On DraftKings, however, you can have a guy dominate a portion of the race and then they crash and finish last, and they could still be in the optimal lineups just based on that. You know, we see a much bigger spread than usual as far as fantasy points going to the best of the best drivers and the guys starting up front. Something we did add to the research station this week that's pretty cool is averages by the five starting positions like we had before, but they're separated. You can see, you know, just what fantasy points numbers and, you know, the averages and stuff for guys that start in, say, like the top five positions, fifth through 10th position, etc. And you can see how that affects people, make how likely they are to finish in the, you know, the optimal in DraftKings and how many laps they finish on average, how many lead and fast laps have on average and stuff like that. But now they, now we have it broken down as well by three tiers, the studs, the mid tier, and the scrubs. So the studs are anyone with 90 or more in season long average driver rating. So your Kevin Harvicks and Kyle Busch's of the world, pretty much anyone around like a Denny Hamlin level or so or higher, the guys that are actually in contention to lead laps for the most part. Then you've got the mid-tier guys, which are guys in between 50 and 90 in driver rating for the year. These will be your William Byrons and Chris Buschers, you know, those, that mid-range of driver generally, your Ryan Newman, you know, sort of guys. And then you've got the scrubs, so anyone under 50 driver rating for the year. That's a pretty good mark for that. Just guys that don't really have any real chance. So you can see, you know, it's something that had kind of, you know, been a little obfuscated before. You'd have, you know, stars that start in the very back. You know, guys all obviously lead laps and stuff. They'll go to the very back and they'll throw off the numbers for the guys starting in the back. But now you can see, you know, when we've only had, say, four instances where guys started 26th or worst, being a stud going in, and those guys, you know, outside of one one spot where it looks like a guy crashed, you know, those guys generally do pretty well. You can see like their averages and stuff and the different sample sizes we have for different groups. And, you know, if you have a guy and you're wondering what his expected outcome is, you can pretty much look to his tier rating, where he's starting, and get a general idea of how guys in that tier tend to finish just based on where they're starting. So, you know, as far as roster construction goes this week, you know, let's just take a look at just some historical data to kind of get a sense of what goes on at this race. So, you know, we can go to the historical performances tab, something I like to do, and maybe just uncheck all the guys that led under, say, 10 laps. All right, you can see all the different dominators year to year, race to race. So just going to go over the last few races and kind of just explain what went down here. You know, starting with the fall races and then going into the spring race. So, you know, starting with last year's fall race, you know, this was right in the final stage of the championship, you know, final four round. And Joey Logano dominated that, and, you know, just, it was pure domination from him with 309 lead laps, 51 fast laps. We don't see the dominators here lead quite as many, or have, you know, quite as many, fast laps as we do at some other tracks, but they'll still get a decent amount. Those are kind of spread around a little bit more. There's not really much of a clean air factor that would lead to the leader just racking up lead fast laps, maybe in the very beginning since they won't have any traffic to worry about. But, you know, sometimes that'll go down to things like guys that have short run speed versus long run speed. Something we'll kind of see, you know, some guys will start off a run well and get some fast laps, and we'll see them kind of fade out and other guys kind of rise up. Sometimes just whoever had a really good run around the track, you know, they can be a little bit more widely distributed. You know, they don't just necessarily go to the guy leading all the laps. And we can kind of see that here where Logano had 309 lead laps, but came third in fast laps. He had 51 fast laps, as where Hamlin, who only had 31 lead laps, had 76 fast laps. And Truex, who only had 18 lead laps, had 58 fast laps. And we also saw Kyle Busch, who led 100, have 48 fast laps. And looking at, you know, this spring race last year, you know, Clint Bowyer won that, leading 215 laps with 75 fast laps. But Kyle Busch actually led in fast laps with 77, but he was the fourth and pretty much only dominator out there. He only led 24 laps, but, you know, had those 77 fast laps and led the way in that. It's where we had Denny Hamlin lead 111 with 42 fast laps, and Ryan Blaney led 145 with only 30 fast laps. And, you know, we've seen pretty much three dominators be the way the last two races went here. Going back even further, you know, in 2017, the fall race, there were pretty much four dominators again. You know, Kyle Busch led 180 with 60 fast laps. Chase Elliott led 123 with 67 fast laps. Keselowski 108 laps led with 109 fast laps. And Logano leading 59 with 60 fast laps. You know, going back to the spring race in 2017. This one, half of the race was pretty much led by Kyle Busch, 274 lead laps with 91 fast laps. And Keselowski with 116 lead laps and 90 fast laps. And then you had a bunch of very small, short-lived dominators in Truex, Hamlin, Larson, Elliott, all leading under 50 lead laps, but still coming in with some decent... they didn't come in with a whole lot of fast laps, except for Elliott, who had 38. So... You know, it kind of goes back and forth year to year, race to race, and what happens. Again, we saw two big dominators in 2016, and then, or pretty much three. Jimmy Johnson led 92 as well, so 147 to Truex, 176 to Matt Kenseth there. And in the 2016 spring race, this is what we'll go, you know, back to here. Kyle Busch led pretty much most of the laps there, a good majority, led 352, won the race with 81 fast laps. Harvick had 72 lead, 71 fast laps, and Kenseth had 45 lead, 48 fast laps. So you can kind of see here, generally you're going to want a few dominators, more dominators than at any other track. I guess Bristol can be sort of the same way, but here you see this domination can be spread around a little bit better than at Bristol. There are a lot less devastating sort of DNFs and crashes. You know, people finish more of their laps here than at Bristol. You know, there are a lot of skirmishes and crashes. Ranks 18th out of 23 tracks in percentage of the race run under caution. You know, it's pretty similar to Bristol in that way. It's also, you know, I mean, they're not as bad as things like Daytona and Talladega, but, you know, there's still a lot of little accidents that go on, but they're usually small or inconsequential. At the spring race last year, they had a green first and second stage before having like a one-car incident in the third stage. So we have seen some much quieter races, and recently we have seen, you know, a lot of risk aversion in the field and a lot of long green flag runs, and you know, we'll want to see the prop that'll come out today, the over under on the number of cautions. And you know, we usually, you know, last week we saw it at 6.5 and knew that, you know, Vegas didn't think there were going to be very many cautions, sort of like the last several races, and there'll probably be more. It'll probably be around like 8 or 9 or so for this one, because usually there are, you know, a bunch of smaller things that go on. There's a lot of bumping like goes on at the these smaller tracks here. Let's talk about the short track racing here in general. Actually, I feel like I haven't talked much about that here. Martinsville is one of the three concrete tracks in NASCAR. They're all the shorter tracks. Bristol and Martinsville are concrete, and Dover also is. That's a 1 mile oval there. You know, it's about a 15-year-old surface, you know, last repaved in 2014, and is the slowest track on the NASCAR circuit, only going around 80 miles an hour or so. But with the changes with the large rear spoiler and the you know, the overall changes to the package this year, you know, allowing for a lot of downforce and just generally higher speeds, you know, we expected a lot of records to be broken, and the speeds were just a lot faster than we had last year. So it's going to run a little bit faster and just be a little bit different than last season. But generally at short tracks, especially ones like these where the aerodynamics of the car do not really come into play, a lot of it boils down to driver skill and how comfortable they are. on shorter tracks. It's a bit of a mentality. There are some guys that kind of own the track, and for this one in particular, it's one that takes some time to figure out, and then for some veterans, you know, a lot of them have described them pretty much having a light bulb going off in their head when it comes to these sort of tracks, and they suddenly just start doing well at it. We've noticed that Kyle Busch, that's something that he's mentioned has happened to him at this track, and it definitely shows with his results here. And you know, the difference between this track and Bristol is it's very flat, 12 degrees in banking, as where Bristol is 30 degrees in banking, so it's a lot faster, just a completely different style of race. We don't even include Bristol in the splits that we're using for this week. It's important to look at the other short and flat tracks, but really looking at Martinsville in particular, history at Martinsville is going to be really good stuff to go off of. We race it twice a year, and there are tons of laps to really go off of. We're looking at the practices this week. You know, we definitely want to look at the longer run speeds. You know, got the 15 and 20 lap averages up in the research station for most of the drivers in the field. We even got a sneak peek at like 30 lap averages from the Mike Joyce Twitter account. Truex was actually number one in that, which is you know, something we'll talk about here later when we get up to the drivers here, which I'd better hurry and get to. We're about 20 minutes into this podcast, and again, I'm trying to keep it shorter since I know this will be posted day of the race. So let's just go to the field here real quick. Just, you know, keeping in mind the strategy for both sides being pretty much on FanDuel, you're wanting to pretty much punt hard and just go with these studs that are going to dominate the race. Can't stress that enough. They can finish, as long as they finish decently, but lead laps, they'll be good to go. And other than the guys that lead the laps, you need the guys with a good place differential. It kind of will come into play a lot more on FanDuel this week than it will on DraftKings. On DraftKings, you just have to have the dominators. Not only the guys getting the lead laps, but also the fast laps. There are 500 fast laps to go around, but you know, we'll have like cautions and stuff. So really, there are about 450 or so, give or take some, depending on the amount of caution flags, where obviously no fast lap will be awarded. You know, there is a fast lap, then somebody will be in trouble there. But on DraftKings, the main strategy there, of course, you know, place differential comes into play a little bit more. But we've got some really big price tags on some guys that could, you know, really, really potentially lead a lot of laps here. You might find yourself punting a little bit heavier this week, and you know, guys in the back might be a little bit more in play than usual. We know that's the case on FanDuel. They don't do too shabby on DraftKings either. You know, it's they do just about average, if not slightly better than average here. It's just the need to go to the top 10 and get the more expensive guys is a lot higher than at other tracks. But it's not like Darlington where the you know, you want to pick the guys in the very front, but the guys in the back are going to be absolutely screwed. There's a lot more variance in play at Martinsville. There's also a lot more equality when it comes to like equipment and aero and stuff. You know, a lot of this will come down to driver skill, and they'll be able to flex their skill, you know, without necessarily having to focus too much on equipment. It's a bit like restrictor plate racing in that way, but not entirely. It's not that, you know, even across the board. You know, you still have to be good at, you know, you still have to have a pretty decent car out there, you know, be able to get like speed and stuff, but your skill will definitely come into play a lot more than we're used to at a regular like intermediate track. So going into the field here, just gonna go down DraftKings scoring, starting with a brand new high price for a guy, Kyle Busch, $13,000. Could not be looking much better after two straight victories to seal off the West Coast swing there. And this is a track where he has finished top five 7 races in a row ever since injuring himself in early 2015. He's come back to this track with a vengeance. Definitely has some clocks in his big trophy case where, you know, his 200 NASCAR trophies reside. And you know, picked up another one just yesterday at the truck race. just absolutely destroying that thing, like he usually does in trucks. Won this fall race in 2017 and this year's spring race in 2016. Again, like I said, just always in the top five. At over his last 16 races at short and flat tracks, out of every 500 laps, he's led 138 of them with 65 fast laps. That's absolutely huge. If he comes anywhere near that, that would, you know, be a must roster sort of deal. He's about 4-1 in the books right now, but we'll see how that updates tomorrow. Definitely something you want to check out for there, and also see potentially the top five odds. We got those last week and really hope to get those this week. If you're looking at just Martinsville, it would be for every 500 laps, he leads 93 with 42 fast laps. Still, really, really good. You know, he's put up the 350 lap performance, and you know that's something he's capable of. He's pretty much got the best crew out there and the best car, and he's just the best at short tracks. I had mentioned before, and this will pretty much always reign true, it's like at a short course, at a short track, you just play Kyle Busch. Like, it's pretty much that simple. They're making it hard with him being $13,000, but he just paid off like a $16,000 price tag in trucks with half the laps. So, you know, not saying that he has the advantage here that he has in trucks, that'd be silly, but his car is still really, really good. You know, JGR and Penske both have just dominated this season so far, and this is a track where those two teams have dominated historically as well. He was 5th in the board in first practice, 18th in the board in second practice, but it was so much better than it seems. If you're just looking at single lap times this week, you're kind of making a mistake here. Kyle Busch was 1st in 5 lap averages in first practice, and then 2nd behind only Truex in 10 and 15 lap averages. Didn't quite get a 20 lap run out there. And then top 5 in all of these splits from 5 to 20 laps, kind of improving in each split, going all the way up to 2nd in 20 lap speed. So the speed is obviously there with his car. He's starting back in 14th, didn't have the best time in qualifying, but that's not going to be much of a problem here. If anything, it gives him, I actually don't think it matters at all, the place differential. Because really, if you roster him, you're rostering him expecting him to lead laps and dominate this race big time. The few amount of points that he's going to get in place differential going from 14th to like 2nd, that will be neat, but you know, if he doesn't lead laps doing that, he is not going to be in the optimals. It's going to go to a guy leading the laps that's most likely going to be a 10K plus guy, like the Penske guys run underneath him, or Truex, Kevin Harvick, even Larson, Hamlin, you know, those kind of guys. They still have to pay up for it, and I really don't think Kyle Busch at $13,000 you're not going to get paid off using him without him leading a ton of laps. But him leading laps here is, it seems almost inevitable, pretty much. You know, looking at all of his races here, real quick, Kyle Busch. Yeah, so going from, you know, he's led fast laps in every single one of his last 10 races, with you know, the two races in 2014 and then the fall race in 2015. Those are the only three that he's led less than 24, or not led, but had less than 24 fast laps here. In general, he'll get you around 25 to 90 fast laps. Well, about 25 to 50 if he doesn't dominate. But if he does dominate, he'll get you anywhere between 50 and 100 fast laps. Usually a pretty darn safe when he dominates. And even in the spring race here last year, we saw him come 2nd. Didn't lead a lot of laps with only 24 lead laps, but he did have 77 fast laps, and it got him 86.5 points on DraftKings. You know, I think then you could have afforded to play him with Bowyer there, and I think that was the optimal there, but you know, it's going to be a bit harder to do something like that this week. I guess if it is Bowyer with the price there, but most likely it'll be another very expensive Dominator like a Logano or Keselowski or someone that does this. And I don't know if at 13K he'd exactly make it, but he would just need to have a pretty standard dominant performance with lead laps to get in the optimals, especially over there on FanDuel with how similarly everyone scores outside of the difference of just lead laps there. And you know, we've seen him lead 100-plus laps in 4 of the 10 races, with only 2 races where he did not find the lead. Did have the one race in the fall of 2016 where he had 3 lead laps, but other than that, looks pretty darn good. He always finds his way out up out front. You can expect him to lead, I don't know, anywhere between 25 to 400 laps, somewhere in there. So it's a pretty wide range. This is a race where it can go down a lot of different ways. This is you know, not the most predictable of tracks. It is predictable in the sense that it's unpredictable. You know, that's how we'll kind of put it here. But it is kind of easy to predict him finding his way out to the lead. He's Kyle Busch, and this is a short track. This is definitely his jam. Brad Keselowski here, this has also been a pretty good jam for him. 10th in this race last year, but other than that, over the last 6, he's finished in all in the top 5 outside of that 10th. And winner here in the 2017 spring race, where he dominated. Averages 42.5 lead laps with 45 fast laps on average at Martinsville. And, you know, he averages over 40 fast laps at both recent short and flat track performances and long term. This is, you know, this is one of his better track types. A little bit slower in practice, definitely. It's something we've seen with Keselowski. He tends to, you know, him and Logano tend to not even worry about qualifying for the most part and kind of get some slower practice speeds and also just experiment all over the place. But I'm not terribly worried about it. He ended up qualifying 3rd. Could definitely find the lead. Yeah, he averages over 40 lead laps here as well. And at 12,400 on DraftKings and 13,700 on FanDuel. You know, it's really hard to pay for him on both sides, but if you can, I mean, you definitely want to have a decent share of Keselowski. He gets a lot of dominator points here. Probably the 3rd favorite to dominate here at this track. Probably actually similar in value to Truex when it comes to that, but starting up in 3rd, he might have a more direct path to dominator laps kind of off the bat. So probably the 3rd most likely to dominate after Logano on the pole and Kyle Busch. At $11,900, we have Martin Truex Jr., who was blazing fast in practice. He starts 9th, but has some good long-run speed in his car. 4th and 11th in single-lap speed, but in first practice, he was 2nd in 5-lap speed and 1st in 10, 15, and 20-lap averages. And then in second practice, 1st in 5 and 10-lap speeds, and also in 30-lap speeds. And 2nd and 3rd in 15 and 20-lap speeds. Very, very fast car, especially on the long run. And the last fall race here, we saw the same thing from this car. We saw that long-run speed. And, you know, if you look at Truex's performance, get off Kyle Busch here, go to Truex, you can see, you know, last year in the spring race, he scored 52 on DraftKings starting on the pole. Wasn't all that great, didn't hold on to lead very long at all, only led 4 laps there. But he was a necessary part of the fall race where he actually was one of those guys that started in the very back there, fought his way all the way up to the lead, led a good chunk of laps. Well, actually only led about 18 laps, but with 58 fast laps along the way, finishing 3rd for over 100 fantasy points. We have seen him lead a good chunk of laps here. Only once has he led over 42 laps, and that was in 2016, the fall race, where he started on the pole and led 147 laps. Has only broken 30 fast laps once here at this track, and that was the most recent race where he had the 58 fast laps. You know, if his car is tuned up like it was at that race most recently here at Martinsville, which wasn't all that long ago if you think about it, it was one of the last races of the year last year. You know, this could be a good spot for Truex, and we see it in his long run speed in his car. It's going to probably really help him out here, especially if there isn't going to be as much carnage and you're going to have these longer green flag runs. So he's expensive now at almost $12,000. Like, they're really, really pricing up the studs this week because they know But Truex probably is, you know, it's going to be similar to Keselowski with Truex. He's just going to be a good spot of value that you don't want to get off of in GPP. But I don't really know if he makes cash, because in cash you kind of want to go Logano-Busch. I'll talk about Logano here. Logano starts on the pole. Pretty good practice speeds, you know, around 5th to 7th or so in all the different splits. But starting on the pole, and this is where he just crushed it last time out in the fall. Led the 300 laps and just, you know, was absolutely a must-have for fantasy. Led to his championship right there. Also had a, you know, he's kind of had an up and down history here, but mostly up. Just some crashes, but a lot of top five finishes. Not as many fast laps, but honestly, it's a good amount of fast laps for him compared to what he usually does at certain tracks. You know, averages 25 fast laps here, but it's a lot better than he does at some tracks. He does have a problem with not getting a ton of fast laps when he races, which is a DraftKings specific problem. On FanDuel, I mean, there's a reason he's 14,000 on FanDuel. He's looking like an amazing FanDuel play starting on the pole. But you know, for DraftKings, starting on the pole, he's just, even on DraftKings, you know, he'll get those fast laps at first, you'd imagine. You know, unless he gets passed off the pole immediately, you can pretty much expect Logano to do some work and get a big chunk of Dom points off of the first stage, and even, you know, hang around all race long. Not only is Penske strong here, just in general, we saw Blaney recently lead a good chunk here at Martinsville. So Logano, he's got his teammate Keselowski right behind him starting in third. It's pretty obvious, I think, that he's going to start and lead a good chunk of laps. He's got Eric Almirola next to him, and he'll be starting on the outside, which is really it's not a good advantage to have here with it being a flat track. You definitely want to be on the inside. It's kind of a fight for the inside lane, which I forgot to mention. It's another reason I like Truex Jr. this week, because that is like his skill set right there. But Logano can also very much do that, and should help him get past Almirola there, although Almirola looks kind of speedy in his own right. He just has absolutely no precedence of leading and stuff here, but could happen. I'll talk about him in a little bit here. Kevin Harvick, you got him starting in fourth. I don't think anyone's going to really use him. People have been quite off him as he's struggled to start the season so far, and he's kind of struggled here. He has yet to have a top four finish in his last 10 races. Finishing 5th in the 2018 spring race and 2017 fall race. Those are the only real good finishes we've gotten out of him anytime recently. Just has not had as much success here as at other tracks. He has dominated in some portions and could definitely dominate this week. He starts right behind his own teammate, Eric Almirola, with that all Ford starting two front rows. But, you know, if he does find the lead, I mean, it's, you know, it wouldn't be too crazy, but you would definitely be ahead of a lot of the field. So I don't think people are really enamored with Harvick's play right now. He's 16-1 in Vegas, which is a huge number for Harvick. You can tell they don't really like him here as much either right now. Speeds are just mediocre to okay in practice, ranging between 8th and 10th in speeds. So you're not really seeing a ton of long or short run speed from him, but he can be very confusing when it comes to practices. You've got Kurt Busch here starting back in 20th. Should be popular, but boy, is he priced up now at $10,200. Practice times are not looking good. His teammate, Kyle Larson, also really struggles here. Has struggled here in the past. The last time we had a race here, Jamie McMurray, actually the spring race last year, I think it was, he just ran into tons of trouble with his car, and ended up crashing. But, you know, Kurt Busch has been amazing to start the season so far. I think personally he is a fade in tournaments, because look, the place differential is fine here, you know, going from 20th, he'll probably go up several spots and he could be a decent cash play, but at $10,200, I really doubt you're going to get the dominator points that you need. And that's always been Kurt Busch's biggest struggle. So I'd be much more inclined to go to someone that I know can lead laps here, like Hamlin or Blaney, for much cheaper. So Kurt Busch is probably a fade for me in GPP, and a lot of people are going to be flocking to him because his game log looks amazing right now, all top 10 finishes, and some of them being just because of gambles you took that paid off. It could look much different if some things didn't go his way. But, you know, Kurt Busch, that's just how I feel about him. I would like him, but he's, you know, he struggled here, sixth in the fall race, but before that, he was held out of the top 10 in, was that, eight consecutive races. I did win in the 2014 spring race, though, but, you know, that was back when he was originally driving a Chevy for Stuart Haas there, but now he's driving a Chevy for Chip Ganassi Racing, who has struggled here just a little bit. I feel like McMurray has had some success here, but Kyle Larson pretty much never has outside of a third-place finish in 2016. The spring race, and you know, it's a decent enough segue to go right to Kyle Larson here. He's 40-1 on the books right now, just to give an example of how he is not favored right now. He's better at steeper tracks, ones you can go to the outside lane on. This is a track that is just not cut out for a guy like him at all. You can really see it. You know, we saw some okay longer run speeds in the first practice session there, but they really fell off in the second practice session where he was in between like 10th and 15th. You know, he's crashed out two of the last three races here, and outside of the third place finish, has no finishes better than 14th in 10 career races here. You know, this is not the best spot for Larson at $9,700. I think he's still priced up, you know, pretty decently. Starting in seventh, I really don't see him dominating. I mean, it could happen. It can. I mean, he has led laps here in the past, but averages four per race. Even if he does, I think it'll be short-lived. I don't think that he really has shown that he has the car for this track right now. You know, there's always a chance that things could just shake up his way and he finds the lead. And if you find the lead, and no matter how you get it, if you find the lead here, you can definitely lead a good chunk and find yourself out there for a while. But I would definitely put my money on Kyle Larson not doing that and him just being a waste of money. I'd much rather go to Denny Hamlin for $300 cheaper, $9,400. Starting in fifth, he is 10-1. Probably even looking to get better there. Really good at this track, has some really stellar finishes. Won the 2015 spring race, runner-up last year. In this fall race, averages almost 40 lead laps per race here. With over 100 driver rating, he's fifth in the field in average driver rating, behind only Logano and Jimmy Johnson, who is, you know, the king here. And then, of course, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski. And, yeah, he's really, really good here, you know, better than guys like Kevin Harvick and Martin Truex Jr. historically, even Kurt Busch. You know, this is near his home, his hometown area where he grew up, like here in Loudoun, you know, just the northeast part of America. I don't know if he saves a little extra sauce for these tracks. He just so happens to be really good at these. We saw him lead some laps last week, kind of a surprise out of nowhere, and he's a guy that nobody likes to roster much at all. But I think he's definitely worth some ownership here. He's on JGR, who is just a team that we were attacking pretty heavily this week, along with Team Penske, just because they're, you know, the best cars in NASCAR right now. And Denny Hamlin, you know, you can see he's got some decent longer run speeds, not great short run speeds at all, but he does get faster as, you know, goes deeper into the lap runs here. Someone that's going to be lower owned and set a track that he's really good at for a price that's fair. I like that. And I think his price on it's a FanDuel that's really expensive at $13,000. I would still play him there, honestly, because if he just so happens to lead, it's who you need. It doesn't matter what his price is. So I think he could be a nice, very low owned play over there on FanDuel. You've got Eric Almirola at $8,700, starting runner up to Joey Logano there on the pole, sitting on the outside. Kind of mentioned, you know, he's got his teammate behind him, but so does Logano. We also saw him get out to some lead laps along with Hamlin as one of the surprises there, and he's looked fast so far this year. You know, it seems like he belongs in the top 10, but he's not one to dominate quite. Has never led a lap here and really does not lead laps at this type of track. But, you know, he's newer to having top-tier equipment. You know, would usually finish between 15th and 20th here in his career. Last year, he finished 11th and 14th, so he's starting to get better here. And his long-run speeds are actually quite amazing. So he only posted a 10-lap run in the first practice, but was top three in the board. And then 14th in single lap speed in final practice, but the long run speed was really good for him. First in 5 lap averages, second in 10 lap, and then first in 15 and 20 lap averages. Really, really fast car for him. So usually I do not like him for fantasy purposes unless he starts near the back because he lacks dominator upside. And he has absolutely no precedence of leading laps, but he could definitely find the lead over Joey Logano to start out the race, and that wouldn't be too much of a surprise for me. He does have a pretty fast car. Stuart Haas did kind of unload fast, and his teammate Bowyer dominated this race last year. So definitely have some Almirola in play. Set a minimum on the Domination Station lineup optimizer for sure. And of course, if you want access to that, remember DFSArmy.com. Promo code TACO, get you that lifetime 20% off discount. Can't let you guys forget about that. So speaking of Clint Bowyer, that's who's next on the board. One of the best plays of the week. This is one of his best tracks as well when he doesn't get into trouble here. He is a top 10 threat every single time. The track really suits his racing style. Like I had said about him at the ovals we've been to recently, you just hold off on Clint Bowyer until you get to these nice short tracks where you can play him, and this is definitely his playing grounds here. He's 11-1 right now. It's better than the likes of Blaney, Almirola, Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, like significantly better odds than those guys. And this is definitely a place where he does well. The first practice session, he was second in 20 lap averages and first in just fast lap. He had the fastest lap of all of everybody. And in second practice, he was only 12th in single lap speed, but top 3 and 5 and 10 lap speeds, kind of tailing off a little bit in 15 and 20 lap averages, but still someone who's looking to go up from 11th because he's a big top 10 threat and can lead laps as we saw last year when he led all those laps here. And this is, you know, again, it's not just that last race where that spring race where he's dominated before. You know, he's definitely a known entity here. Finished third and second in 2013 when we had first switched over to this package. So, or this generation of car. So this is definitely a spot where he can bang. And that was on, you know, he had 4 top tens in a row there. And that was on a much lesser Michael Waltrip Racing team. So now in Stuart Haas Racing equipment that's unloaded pretty hot, he's definitely someone you're going to want to get some exposure to at $8,400, very cheap. The problem is he's just going to be very popular as well. Cash games, definitely a guy you'll want to play. GPP, you might want to fade him for ownership, but you'd still definitely want exposure to him. Should just be a really solid play. Chase Elliott, $8,200. That's the cheapest we've seen him at in a very long time. I don't know what to really make of him here. Top 10 finishes, in 3 of his last 4, just got into trouble in the 2017 fall race. Fastest in single lap speed in final practice, which makes me hate him because that means he'll be overowned as could be. And he has dominated here in the past before. He was top 6 in all of his, 5, 10, 15, 20 lap averages in the first practice, but down to a range between 9th and 12th. In second practice, starting 8th, I kind of want to fade him. He's been pretty disappointing for a while now. Just, kind of starting in the top 10, going back to the teens through most of the race, and maybe sneaking in for like an 8th place finish at the end. But he hasn't dominated much recently for me. I know this is a place where Hendrick Motorsports has dominated in the past with Jimmy Johnson. But, I don't really trust Elliott too much. I think with that, fastest single lap speed in second practice, with that usually almost always leading to over ownership on a guy, I think I'm just going to look elsewhere there. I love you, Chase, but I can barely ever play you in daily fantasy, and it's just frustrating. Jimmy Johnson, $8,000. This is a place where he's won 9 freaking times. He's got so many clocks, he definitely knows what time it is. And the time is now. Not talking John Cena here, but I'm talking a different guy with his name starting J. It's Jimmy Johnson. Man, I really don't know what to make of him. You know, just another guy that's great at this track that is named after a football coach. You know, the other guy, of course, would be Joe Gibbs, who's named after himself, who's also a football coach. It's the, that was the first joke I could think of that came to my head concerning him, but, I mean, not a whole lot needs to be said about Jimmy here. His acumen here is well noted in history, but he is just not the driver he was before, especially over the last 2 years, and that is definitely shown in his finishes here. Won in 2016 in the fall race. Since then, he's finished 15th in both spring races and 12th in both fall races. And that's about where he'll finish on average just right now. I know he's been racing a little bit better, but it's really hard to ignore how single lappy his speeds were. And we saw with his teammate as well. But, you know, in the final practice, he was third in a single lap speed, but 29th in 5-lap average, 27th in 10-lap average, 22nd in 15-lap average. You know, it's just not very well sustained speed. Like in first practice, he was 8th in 5-lap average, but 22nd in 10 lap averages. But, you know, I think the only reason he's even priced up to 25-1 as it is are all of those titles. And, you know, the only reason I've seen people give for picking Jimmy Johnson this week is just saying, well, I'll take the guy with the most wins here. But at this track type, over the last 16 races, he's averaged 2 lead laps, and they're not even, like, very legitimate lead laps. It's just a place to not go this week. I don't really like picking Jimmy. I don't think he's going to lead laps, even though he averages 88 lead laps here. That's seeming like a thing of the past. His crew chief has moved on. If we see William Byron randomly win, I think we might have figured out the winning strategy there with this track, but I don't know. You're not going to see me on much Hendrick this week. Chevy is plus 500 or plus 600 to win. It's really up to the Fords and the Toyotas this week. That's just, you know, how I'm seeing everything going right now. We'll have to see, but I really doubt I'm playing Jimmy Johnson much at all. Eric Jones at $7,800. Looked pretty decent in that first practice. Not as good in the second practice, where splits were between 10th and like 15th or so. But it's also, you know, a place where he has struggled historically. He hasn't finished better than 12th yet. This is a track they don't go to in Xfinity. So something to note for guys like Eric Jones, kind of fresher out of Xfinity, and we've definitely seen with Bubba Wallace here. You know, they don't have much Xfinity practice here, and you know, unless you've played it in trucks, you really haven't seen the track much. We've seen guys like Larson and Eric Jones and Daniel Suarez just struggle here initially. Some guys have yet to figure it out, like Matt DiBenedetto, you know. And Bubba Wallace, you saw him finish 34th in his first two races here last year. Just not, not a place where rookies really pick it up very quickly. It's a place you have to kind of figure out first. And this is a place that Eric Jones could figure out. I'm sure he's definitely working on it. And starting 19th, that's a pretty good starting position. But at this track type, especially, I like Jones a lot better on the ovals. And he's 60-1 on the books right now. That is a very sketch line for him. It's just not the right track type for him, is what I think. Daniel Suarez at $7,600. Second in single lap speeds in first practice, but that was kind of a wash because he's 29th in 10 lap averages. And then it kind of reversed. He was 20th in single lap speed in the second practice, but top 10 in the 5, 10, and 15 lap averages there. Tailing off as it goes on to 13th and 20 lap averages. Starting 10th, I really don't like this play much at all. I know he finished 9th here last year, but just not really feeling it with the lack of long run speed, it would seem, in the car. 85-1, you know, no thanks there. Alex Bowman, $7,400, starting 17th. That's not bad. He finished 17th here in the fall race and 7th in the spring race. He could, you know, he's someone that could definitely do decently at a track like this. Don't like that he was second to his teammate, Elliott, sandwiched in between Elliott and Johnson in the single lap speeds. I know Hendrick was messing with some qualifying trim or something that might kind of... It kind of threw things out, just trying to get good qualifying times for their guy, and they actually succeeded with Byron. He was the one guy that didn't have the top lap speeds in the final practice, so a little bit confusing there, but outside of those fast laps, they really were kind of crappy throughout practice. Bowman, I like him starting 17th. I think it's FanDuel where I like him a lot. Yeah, he's cheap over there, $8,600. That's not a bad price. I don't mind him over there. And he's fine on DraftKings. You'll need to rotate him in plenty of spots, and he's a perfectly fine play. I just don't like playing him for a lot of the same reason I faded Chase there. Just second in the final practice speeds will kind of bump him up artificially. And, you know, trying to run through the field here real quick. I really didn't want to go over an hour, but we're kind of pushing it. We've got Austin Dillon, one of the most important players to talk about here, starting 30th, where he finished last year in both races, finished 30th and 30th. But before that, he had, you know, excluded one crash in the 2015 spring race, all top 20 finishes with some top fives thrown in there too. Starting 30th, there's no way, you know, he definitely moves up. He had just gotten into trouble, you know, over his last couple of races. I will safely discard that. I don't really care. He was fourth in the final practice. Another one of those kind of misleading guys, because he had, like, no long run speed here. 23rd in 15 lap averages, 19th in 20 lap averages. But still, starting 30th, that's some free cheap value. At $7,300, his price tag has dropped from, like, $8,000. You know, he's just so cheap now. It's definitely going to be an important building block in lineups, and with some carnage, and even just through moving up naturally, he's going to get a lot of place differential. Good play on DraftKings and on FanDuel, where you're looking for some place differential this week. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr., $7,200. This place has been his curse for so long. In 2017, he got it figured out, finished 10th both races, and then went back to just crashing last year. Crashed in the spring race. And leading up to those two top 10s, or the two 10th place finishes in a row, he had crashed four times in a row and seven times in his previous eight. You know, he crashes here a ton, and sometimes he doesn't even crash. He just finishes really poorly. This is his worst track, and it looked like he was really slow, too, in first practice. 29th on the board and 31st in 10-lap averages. Like, yikes, but seemed to get figured out a little bit in final practice. 9th on the board, if 20th place five lap speed, and about 16th place 20 lap speed. Still really dicey, really shaky. I don't like playing a lot of Stenhouse, but I think people fade him a lot, and he's starting 25th. That's where he is bait. You know, I remember the 2016 season. He started dead last here, and then finished dead last by crashing right away. I mean, that's, you know, I like to ignore DNFs, and, you know, it paid off in 2017, but man, it's just, this is a place where, Stenhouse is so good at Bristol, and he does so poorly here, and you also see that in Matt DiBenedetto, the same thing, so good at Bristol, so poor here, because he's just someone that really benefits from the added banking and stuff, and just does not really bang all that well here. But I choose to believe that, you know, I think it is correct that a lot of this stuff is just random variance that has just so happened to him, and he's probably a pretty good bet to make. You know, he's been a lot faster this year. He's got a teammate now who has been really, really good here at this track, and Newman, that might have shown him some things, and just definitely working on it. This is a pretty important track to a lot of people, and I'm sure he's focused on getting, a little better. So starting 25th, don't mind him much on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, you might want to take a big pause before using too much Recce here, because that's, him crashing at all would be just a killer. You know, his average FanDuel points per race is probably the worst of anyone in the field. I can guarantee you that. Outside of like the super scrubs, William, you've got Paul Byron. Oh my gosh, I mixed up Paul Menard and William Byron. Well, they're both kind of the same play in my books. Paul Menard starting 15th, just a little high for me. Should finish around there, if not a little bit lower. You know, just not huge on him right now. Then you got William Byron starting 6th, who's just a big no play for me. Crashed very early in the fall race, 20th in the spring race. You know, he also crashed in the first practice session. Went to a backup, starting 6, you know, and that's just way too sketchy for me. I really, really, really doubt he leads laps here. $6,800, that's a much better play in my book. Ryan Newman, 85-1 the books. That's about as good as Daniel Suarez for reference. Starting 21st, he has finished better than that in 8 straight races here. 8th in the most recent race in the fall, looked really good in that race. Also 8th here in the 2017 spring race. You know, has some top 10 upside here, but starting 21st, really just needs to get in the top 15. He'll do good for $6,800 on DraftKings and on FanDuel. You know, this is just a place where he can score well and will likely finish pretty well. So also a pretty good FanDuel play. You know, his racing style is very, very helpful here with his ability to block and block hard. I really like Newman for that. And his longer run speeds actually look somewhat decent for a guy so far down here. I've got Daniel Hemric, who has been, you know, kind of all over the board lately. But starting back in 29th, a really safe starting spot for him. His 4th and 5 lap averages, but that really fell off. 24th and 10 lap, 25th and 15 lap. Not too sure of what to make of Hemric here. The practice times are kind of all over the place. But he's shown some pretty decent chops. 18th in Phoenix. I'm definitely willing to give a shot to him. Starting 29th. Can definitely move up pretty easily here. Just has to avoid making dumb mistakes. And kind of worried that he has very, 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 very limited experience here. So I'm going to kind of proceed with caution. But he'll definitely be a guy I rotate in at this track. You've got Chris Buescher at $6,500. I was looking very fast in practice, but qualified 13th, just a little bit too high for me. I know he finished 13th here in this race in the fall, and 11th in the 2017 spring race, but for the most part, he's, you know, it's kind of iffy if he's finishing top 20. Definitely moving down from 13th. Well, not definitely, but very likely, and not much of a top 10 threat. He is cheap this week, but I don't see him being the play that you need from down here. You just want a little bit more place differential. Matt DiBenedetto at $6,300. His best finish here is 29th in 8 attempts. Even, you know, you figure at least once you get lucky with, like, carnage or something, or just surviving past people, you know, because you see guys like McDowell, Reagan, Castle, these guys are putting up, like, top 25s at this track, and that's just never materialized for Matt DiBenedetto. Top 30 is like the best that he can possibly do here, and just barely at that. You know, the last 4 races, 36th, 32nd, 39th, and 35th, and 32nd, just consistently bad here. It kind of makes me worry a bit for Corey LaJoie, who's already going to a backup, but he's in that 32 car that DiBenedetto's done this all with at this track. And, you know, just like Stenhouse, so good at Bristol, but so bad here. Practice times, they were decent in practice 1. I made some long sessions. Practice 2, the speeds were between like 20th and 27th. 12th in single lap speed, but starting 22nd, I'm not too confident that he's going up from there. I think he might go backwards. Just, if this is a place where driver skill really shows through, and he's shown repeatedly that he has no skill here. I'm sorry, Matty D. I'll usually love you, but this is like your worst track, I think. Ryan Preece, starting 16th. He is in that 47 car that AJ Allmendinger drove the crap out of here. This race last year, he was constantly riding in the top 10. Problem is Preece, he's not like Hemric, where he has like no experience here. He did race a race here in 2015, finishing last, finishing, well, actually third to last there. or second to last, finishing 42nd with a quick DNF there. So it's a little bit of experience. He's at least been here before, drove around, but he's in a very good car for this. But I think a lot of the reason the car had the success was because of AJ Allmendinger, who's such a good flat track racer and road course racer. Priest, you know, no, he's not the same guy. You know, it's pretty good in Xfinity and stuff at, like, short tracks, but starting 16th, it's a risky endeavor. I wish it was Allmendinger. That would just make this so much easier, but at the same time, he would have a much higher price. He'd be in, like, the 7Ks as well, so I don't know if I can play too much Priest, but we'll have a little piece just because of the car he's riding around here. Ty Dillon, he is $6,100. I wish he wasn't 6th in single lap speed in final practice, but he was. 26th in 10 lap average to kind of show you where he really is speed wise. 15th here last year, just kind of survived a good portion of this race, and he is better at short tracks. I'll give him that for sure. Before that, 22nd, 30th, and 22nd. You know, in this track type, you can expect him to run around where he's starting there at 23rd and probably finish in that little range too. At $6,100, he might be cheap enough where if he does have another top 15, he could be in the optimal in the nuts. So someone I will get a little exposure to, but, you know, again, the final practice single lap speed makes me want to fade him, just like a lot of the guys that had that random, you know, top 10. In the single lap speeds, just not interested, more interested in the long run speeds for sure. You've got Michael McDowell at $5,900. Slow throughout practice and just horribly unlucky this season. But he has three straight top 25 finishes, or really six straight top 26 finishes here. Starting 24th, you can expect him to kind of finish around where he starts if he doesn't get into trouble. And with a better race, he might move into around the 20th place position or so. $5,800, or at $5,900, someone you'll have a little bit of exposure to in multi-entry, but not someone I'd get too invested in, honestly. You know, average running position at this track at 25th, so it's actually worse than where you're starting there. But he is in the 34 car, the Castle machine, that he had a lot of success at this track in this car. You know, over the last 2 years, he's not done well here at this track in the 00 Jeffrey Earnhardt machine. But just his finishes before this 2018 season for him, the finishes in the 34 car for him, 23rd, 27th, 29th, 28th, 21st, 21st, 19th, 25th, 29th. So all those top 30 finishes in a row for Castle. And that's from, you know, Castle is like a back end guy who you would be very lucky to finish top 30 a lot of the time. So, we also saw last year with this car from McDowell, he finished 25th and 21st. I mean, a little bit of upside here, but I wish he was starting a little bit further back like he was last week, and I'd be more in on him. You got Bubba Wallace at $5,800. I think he's cheap again on FanDuel. He's $4,500 again. McDowell is too. I kind of like him over there, McDowell. For FanDuel at such a cheap price. But Bubba Wallace, again, he's been unlucky here, just getting into trouble. He actually did finish most of his laps here. He really got behind, got several laps down, something you'll see from a lot of guys, and just never really recovered too much. Was running longer runs in practice, but just really didn't show much speed. It's hard to have too much confidence in Bubba here, especially at a place where I don't know. He's had success here like years back in the trucks. We definitely saw that, but he looked all right in the truck race, but not, you know, like winning the race level like we had saw from him a few years ago. But he actually had a couple of truck series wins here. It was from like 2014, 2015 or so. I'll have some shares in GPP, you know, starting 27th. There's some upside there. Just not too confident about the play I keep ending up on, honestly, down this range. If I'm not just punting super hard, I'm going to David Ragan, starting 26th, 18th in this race last year, 25th race before that. Has a 5th and a 10th place finish from 2015, the spring race, that 5th place finish, and 10th in the 2014 fall race. Some randomly really good finishes for him. 17th in final practice, and around 20th in the 5, 10, and 15 lap averages. Not really too shabby from him in his Front Row Motorsports Ford. You know, this track type, you know, should move up a little bit just given his expectations there, starting around 26th, should finish around 20th to 22nd, somewhere in that range, and potentially a little bit higher, maybe in the very high teens. And at $5,600, that's significantly cheaper than his teammate McDowell, who I think he's in a little bit better of a spot than, and has been much faster in practice than, ran more laps and everything. I really like Reagan there at $5,600, and I don't think the ownership for him gets too crazy either. He's considerably more expensive on FanDuel than McDowell, but on DraftKings, he's cheaper than McDowell, so I really do like him there. Ross Chastain finished 29th in this race both times, starting 31st. It's pretty much what you can expect from him. I would not be surprised if he finished 29th again. That feels about right. And that's not going to get you much here, honestly. It's not even going to save you a ton of money at $5,500. I would much rather punt cheaper. You've got Corey LaJoie at $5,400. He's had some good finishes lately. Will go to a backup car, probably go in the rear of the field. Gets to start 35th, which is cool. But remember, this is a backup car, and this is the 32 that, you know, DiBenedetto just repeatedly struggled with really hard at this track. And, you know, gosh, I don't know how to really attack him, because I wanted to play him. He was 18th in the five-lap averages, 22nd in just overall speed in that first practice session. Now, I don't know. I don't know how I can trust a backup on a team that has never had success here in the past. LaJoie has finished 33rd and 28th here in 2017 when he was racing for BK Racing. You know, pretty much what you can expect. Probably same sort of expectations that Chastain has. Maybe a little bit more upside, but maybe a little bit more downside as well. Just, it's going to be volatile with him. And then Matt Tift, $5,300. Probably the play I'm going to the most down here. Just makes a lot of sense. Has been doing pretty well recently. Just decent finishes when he has finished so far this season. You know, made some really long runs, kind of like what I'm seeing. 24th and 10 lap averages, starting 32nd. It's such a cheap price. That's probably the punt that you want to make there. So he'll be making a lot of my lineups. Landon Castle at $5,200. He's starting 28th, which is a shame. I don't think he can move up much higher than that. He has that history here of the top 30s, but in this car, it has been rough for him. So I'll have some, but not too much. Doesn't look great in practice either. He's like 32nd in pretty much every single split. So he's looking to finish 32nd like he did in this race last year. Cody Ware at $5,100. Usually just a complete fade, but starting dead last at a place where he can just run around and survive at. That's, you know, somewhat appealing, I guess. But, you know, faster than Kennington in practice. That's what he's got going on for him. He's not the worst, not the slowest this week, like usual. And DJ Kennington, $5,000. The slowest track in or the slowest car in practice. But thing he has going for him is last year he finished 27th and 28th here just by surviving. He's like 8 to 10 laps down, but just by surviving past people at DNF, that's how you go up here. And Kennington, he's good at doing that. He does that at several different places. I won't fade him completely. I don't like the play at all, but I don't think I'm fading anyone completely this week, which is kind of weird. Maybe just William Byron. But you know, that's with the added variance. That's kind of what you do down low, especially with the need to punt so hard for Kyle Busch. And if he dominates with another expensive guy, you might have to go a guy like Ware or Tift or Castle, something like this. And then finally, the cheapest guy on the board, $4,900. Starting 33rd, Jeb Burton finished 33rd here in this race in the fall last year. And back in 2015, he finished 29th and 27th when he was racing regularly. I've not seen much of him at all recently. A little bit of, Xfinity, I think. But not too much going on for him there. The 52 Chevy, that's not terribly fast, but slightly faster than the likes of Ware and Kennington. Just going to be a pure punt play for getting guys like Kyle Busch in the lineup, but I don't completely hate it this week like it would some weeks. He could sneak up there. It's perfectly fine. You know, not the worst bet you can make. So that'll do it for Taco's Fast 40. Be sure to tune in next week, but enjoy this race here at Martinsville. I love these short tracks. Definitely a good one to check out and watch. Really fun to watch short track racing. You will not regret it. So remember, dfsarmy.com, promo code TACO to get you a lifetime 20% off and support the pod. I will see you guys later.
Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSARMY. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSARMY, you also get a free month of DFSARMY VIP and DFSARMY Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping. Free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSARMY.